pray for you all. We have prayed for that the Lord would bring all different kinds of people to our Bible study on Thursday nights. And it's going to be a joy to see what he does as we study his word, as we study about the beginning of the church and the unstoppable force that the gospel has just continued through the thousands of years. And so we are so excited to get started. I have one announcement before I pray tonight. This year, we are trying something new for Thursday night Bible study. We have a group that is going to be conducted in Spanish, and we have actually translated our curriculum into Spanish for this particular group. So we're kind of piloting this group. So the teaching obviously will still be in English, but if you have people that you know would prefer a group that maybe they can even speak English, but it's easier not to have to translate everything and they can be free to discuss in their native tongue, please let us know. Or if there are any of you who would prefer to be in the Spanish group, we are ready for you. So let us know about that. Excited to get started. So if you would, please bow your head and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for how you have answered our prayers, that you have brought these women, and how we look so forward to just growing in you as we study your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that are always true. Thank you for how you woo us to yourself and you teach us through your word. So I pray tonight for Anne as she just introduces the book of Acts and introduces our study and just the practical things that that we would be clear and answer the questions. And then in the small groups, I just pray for immediate connections between the group members and the leaders, and that you would just give us an even greater desire to know you more through the study of your word. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for that you love us so much that you have provided a way for us to be saved and for us to be in relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And it's in his strong name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gigi. I'm Ann Halford. We are so glad that you are here. I know there are many ways you could be spending your Thursday nights. Like, if I weren't here, I would probably be home watching episodes of Fixer Upper and eating Texas Two-Step ice cream. But we're glad you're spending your Thursday nights with us. And I know every one of you are really, really busy, and you want to invest your time in things that matter. So this year, we're going to look in depth at God's word in Acts, and we're going to talk about things that matter. So you may be here tonight just to get your friend to stop asking you. You might be here because you saw us on the website and just showed up, and you may not know anybody in this room, or it may have taken a lot of courage for you to walk into this room. You may have been with us before. You may be here not really sure of who Jesus is. You may be here just because you want to meet people. Or you may have studied Acts before and you want to go more in depth. But no matter how you got here, know that God has you here tonight by no accident. He has things that he wants to show you and me through this study and through being here. He knows what you're facing today, and he knows what you're going to be facing tomorrow. So God wants to show you how powerful he is in your life. He wants to show you that he has purpose in everything in your life, and he wants to show you that he loves you. So if you walk away from this study knowing those things, that is a win. So here's how the study works. So every time when you walk up here, print out a name tag out of that kiosk. If you're not sure how that works, ask somebody in one of these shirts. Now, we know that you may have come here straight from work, and all of us have come here from a really busy day. So we want to have something for you. So every time we'll have water and tea out there in the hall. We'll have some kind of snacks here in the back, and we'll have dinner that you can purchase for $5 every week. So it goes like, if tonight was Nukes, next week's Chick-fil-A, then Nukes, then Chick-fil-A, just so you can kind of plan that's how it's going to be. Also, we're going to have this room open and try to have the food here by 6 o'clock every Thursday. So if that works better for you, just coming from work or whatever, if you want to come and transition from your day or chill out or talk to somebody or don't talk to anybody, feel free to show up at 6 o'clock, and we would love to have you here. So the study will actually start in this room at 7 every week. So we keep it really, really simple. First part of the evening, we teach. We'll teach about the passage that we had in our curriculum that week. So it'll either be me or Nika Spaulding or Gigi Hornberger or Judy Wimberly, and we'll teach about the passage. We want that time to clarify what was in the passage and to bring it to life for you. The second part of the evening is a small group, and we will end by 9 o'clock. We really want to respect your time, so we're through at 9. So you either have been or you will be placed in a small group. Again, that is by no accident. We really pray about the placement of the groups. In your group, it's likely there will be some diversity in age. And we do that intentionally. We think it'll grow you, and we think it'll bless you to know women that are maybe in a different place than you are, just age-wise or stage-wise. So there are women in your group that God put there to encourage you this year. And there are women in your group that God put there for you to encourage. Like, God knows everybody's situation in a way that none of us know. And so look at your group that way. Our purpose in our small groups is just to make it real, to take the passage and get to the so what of it. So we want this to be a safe place for you and your group to process God's word together. We want it to be safe for you to be really honest about what's going on in your life and to be listened to be reminded of truth, to be encouraged. So look at the women in your group as God's gift to you for this year. See yourself as God's gift to the women in your group, even if you think, I don't think I could be anybody's gift. So really get to know the women in your group. Some of them will be a lot like you, and some of them may be very different. So I hope you'll form deep relationships and really get to know them, because they're worth getting to know. Every year when we're in here on the very last night of the study, what you talk about is how God placed you in this group with women that made a difference for you. So remember that. When you sit down in your group tonight, you look around this circle and you're like, I don't think I'm in the right place. Or you might look at your group and you go, they're not like my group from last year. Just remember that God had this plan for you for this year. One thing I always say, and I'll say it again because it's true, you have an enemy that does not want you to be in a relationship with God, does not want you to be in his word. So there will be obstacles to your doing the study and to you getting here on Thursday nights. Just know that now. If you're going to have a horrible day at work, it is going to be a Thursday. If you and your boyfriend are going to have some huge fight, it's going to be Thursday. If you're going to be extra tired, it's going to be Thursday. So that when that happens, just go, knew it. It's the enemy, so don't let him win. So I encourage you to come and come faithfully. A lot of times we don't think that makes a difference, but it really does. Come for what you're going to get out of the study, just to know who God is in a deeper way, in a bigger way, and come to be with women that are for you. But if there's a Thursday where you're like, I just don't really feel like coming, come for the women in your group. Just know that if you just barely show up and you don't even have your lesson done, it will encourage the other women in your group that you showed up. So the curriculum, you are going to get our new ACTS curriculum tonight. We are so excited about our curriculum. And we're really awed and humbled that once again, this curriculum was written by the women of Watermark for the women of Watermark. So when you get in your group, you'll get your copy of the curriculum, and your small group leader will kind of go through and show you what all is in here and show you what you need to do for next week. So in this curriculum are questions that help you look into the passage, understand what's going on. Some of the questions will draw out truths about who God is so you can know him and understand him better. And questions that will help you live in light of the truth that you're learning. That's really where we're trying to go with this. This is not so much about being able to trace on some map where Paul went on his missionary journeys as it is to let God use the truth of his word in Acts to change the way you spend your time, to impact decisions you're making, to impact the way that you treat people. A significant part of the study is the time that you spend alone with God in his word. I hope you really find that valuable. And so even more important than doing these questions in this book are just reading the passage, reading the Word of God for that week. You know, the Bible says that it is living and active. It makes claims about itself that if they're true, we need to listen to what it says in the Bible. We need to respect what the Bible says. It says it is the very word spoken by God and that it impacts the way we live. It is a guide for your life. Do you know you can't really know who God is and what he's like apart from the Bible? So dig in. I mean, if that's not true, we might as well just leave and go home, go to happy hour. So every time you sit down to do the study, pray and ask God to show you what he wants you to see through this. Even if it's only one thing, that thing can make a difference for your week. So if these things are all new to you, if you're like, this is totally overwhelming, we want to be here to help demystify these things for you. Just know that you're in the right place. Our team is here for you. So you can come to the women in these shirts, whatever color they are. I've heard they're red, but I'm not really sure. But anyway, we're here to answer questions you might have or just direct you to the right place. I can't wait to go through the study of Acts with all of you. So next week, Nika's going to give us kind of an overview of Acts as we jump into Acts 1. But for the rest of our time in here, I want to prepare you for just opening your Bible to Acts 1. When you open up Acts 1 for next week, you're going to see from the get-go the Holy Spirit referenced. So I have some verses that you're going to see right when you get started. So when we come into Acts, what has happened is Jesus has died, been crucified, he is risen again. And so we're going to see the risen Christ spend some time with his disciples right before he ascends back into heaven to be with the Father. So here's what he says to his disciples in verse 4. Jesus said, "Wait here in Jerusalem for the gift my Father promised that you heard me speak about. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." So when we were finalizing the curriculum this summer, and particularly lesson 1, somebody wisely said, "Who even is the Holy Spirit?" So I want to set you up well tonight, kind of demystify him for you. So when you see the Holy Spirit referenced, it'll mean something to you. You may know all of this already, but you know, you may be able to teach a class about the Holy Spirit, or you may have kind of heard something about him, or you may be like my friend who said, "Who even is the Holy Spirit?" And I was thinking about this. What I realized is I do know something about the Holy Spirit, But I often sell him short in my life. I try to do my own life, do my own thing without realizing that he lives in me. And I try to take on things that are really not mine to take on, things that are his. And when I do that, it leaves me frustrated and stressed out. So it references the promised Holy Spirit. So for the disciples, the idea of the Holy Spirit wasn't new. Like Jesus had told them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So before Jesus' arrest, shortly before he's crucified, in John 14, it's kind of somebody, you might have heard it, the Last Supper. Here's what he says to the disciples. He says, before long, the world will not see me anymore. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Hear that, forever. The Spirit of Truth. He lives with you, and he will be in you. So the disciples had already heard something about the Holy Spirit. But for us, when we open Acts 1, it may feel like you're watching the sequel when you didn't see the first movie. So I want to address a couple of things and just set you up well so you won't feel like you missed something. I want to talk about who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? When you hear me talk about the Holy Spirit, you've heard me not say it or he's not a force, but he is a person. He is the third person of our triune God. So in John 14, Jesus says, I'm going away, I'm going to send the Spirit. So when Jesus is walking on earth with the disciples, like he's with them. He goes with them wherever they go. He teaches them. He talks to them. But when he's about to leave, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm still going to be present with you. So he's still going to be with them. It'll still be God with them, but not in the person of Jesus Christ as a man, but in the person of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another counselor. And when it says another, it means another of the same kind. So different from Jesus, but kind of the same, still God. When I say our triune God, so our God exists not in three gods, but it's one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you think, that's really hard to understand. Like, it really is. It really is hard to understand. And I don't know if there's anybody that can totally wrap their mind around it because it's not like anything else. Like, you can't go, well, yeah, it's just like something else, because it's not. But I think that's a cool thing about God is we don't want a God that we can totally wrap our minds around, where everything about him makes total sense. Like, God is different. He is other. So you may have heard some illustrations about our triune God or the Trinity, and they're good, but none of them just totally nails it. But I'll tell you a couple just because it might help. So you might say that water is H2O. Vapor is H2O, and ice is H2O. Three different forms, but the same in essence. Or I might talk about myself. I am Ann. My kids know me as Mom, and there are six little people. Our grandchildren, they know me as Annie. So I'm Ann, I'm Mom, I'm Annie, but I'm all the same person. The Holy Spirit is personal. He is God in the middle of your life. He's the resident of the Christian's heart. So if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He'll never leave you. He will never bail on you. And in Acts, we're going to get to watch God give the Holy Spirit to live in believers in Christ for the very first time. But today, if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he came to live in you the very moment you believed in Christ. You never have to wonder about that, and he will never leave you. We're going to process through Acts just what that means, and I'm excited to do that because the more I think about how do I view the Holy Spirit, how do I relate to him, Like, I do. I sell him short. A few months ago, I got a new car. My old car, which I really loved my old car, but it was a 2003, and I just felt like something was about to go wrong on it. So Neo, my husband, was like, you need to get a new car. So, you know, because I respect my husband so much, I was like, okay, I'll get a new car. So my new car is another of the same kind. It's newer. So on my old car, if you wanted to unlock the doors to the car, I would press the button on this key. And if I wanted to drive the car, I would put the key in, turn it, then I could drive the car. Well, my new car has this thing. I'm not sure I totally understand it, but if I want to unlock the door of my new car, I just kind of stand near the car and it just unlocks. So I'm like, Lexus was saying, pushing that button is way too much trouble. We're going to spare you of that task. So I just stand near the car. To drive the car, you just push this button and the car starts. But the deal is, I learned, in order to be able to do that, this thing has to be in the car. So a few times, I've gotten in the car, pushed the button, like nothing happens. I'm like, oh, what's wrong with my car? And I realized I've left this thing in the house. Last week, very recently, so we were in the car, Neil was gonna drop me off somewhere and then come back and pick me up. And right as I'm watching him drive away, I'm like, I have this thing. So I was like, this is not going to end well. Like, he's driving along, he just thinks he's going wherever he wants to, but he's not. So I hate to say it, actually, it has happened more than once. And I realized that even when that happens, the car makes this beeping noise, but my car makes so many beeping noises, I usually just ignore it. But I've thought about this, that it's like the Holy Spirit. Like, having him gives you access to the power for God to take your life in the direction that he wants it to go. And so, you know, he's shown you can't do it your own way. So if you have a car, if you have a little thing like this, so let it remind you of the Holy Spirit. So you go, okay, why does the Holy Spirit matter? Like, what does he do? So here's what I want you to leave knowing. The Holy Spirit is utterly committed to your being exactly who God wants you to be. He is utterly committed to that in your life, for your life to glorify God. So I thought of 6 ways that the Holy Spirit impacts your life. There are a lot more than that, but here are the 6 I picked. The Holy Spirit takes God's word and makes it real to you. Like, he makes God's word understandable, makes it powerful in your life. Jesus said in John 16:14, he said, he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit makes your relationship with God real to you, understandable, and he's the one that enables you to comprehend God's love for you. The truth is, you are a child of God, and he totally loves you. In Romans 8:15, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit so that you will know that you are God's child, and you will know that he loves you. Also, we don't naturally get that we're saved by grace. Like, that goes against every form of human thinking. Like, we just don't get it that it's not about us. We think, well, it has to be about what we do or what we don't do. So when you understand that your salvation is by grace through the death of Christ, and it's not about anything you did, that's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So when you read the Bible or hear somebody talk about God and you're like, wow, I never understood that before, but now I get it. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Also, the Holy Spirit enables you to obey God. Like, he's the power to obey God. The writer of Romans 7, it's a great chapter to read if you never have, he says, okay, well, I do these things that I don't want to do all the time. But the things that I do want to do, I don't do those. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. He's like, I know what to do. I just can't seem to do it. And we read that and we're like, yes, you're saying what I feel, just saying it better. And that writer's like, what a mess I am. Who will rescue me? And his answer is, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin. So it's the Holy Spirit that enables you not to sin, who defends you in temptation. He says, I'm your advocate. Your advocate against external enemies, the temptations that you have. And he's your advocate against your internal temptations. Like the lies that your mind tells you, your doubt and your fear and your self-condemnation. He opposes anything in your heart that is contrary to God. He does these interventions on you. Have you ever had that happen? Where you're just having this like battle going on inside of you? He's the spirit of truth that fights things that are contrary to God. So when I want to lie, when I want revenge on somebody, when I want self-glory, he comes in and he says, no. You have the spirit of the living God in you who is totally committed to your being everything God wants you to be. He totally loves you. So when you choose to follow Christ instead of your temptation, that's the Holy Spirit in you. He gives you the understanding and the power to do that. Then the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. This summer, JP at the Porch did a series on Romans 8. It is really worth listening to. But it is a challenge to let the Holy Spirit sit in the driver's seat of your life. Now, I know how I am, like this little thing, like, oh, yeah, I want the Holy Spirit in my life. Like, I'm fine if he's sitting there in the cup holder, but I want to drive. Like, I want to decide how fast I'm going. I want to decide where we're going to turn, where we're going to stop. And the Holy Spirit says, move over. He wants to drive. So just think about that. What would it look like to let him drive? I know with Neil all the time, like he's driving and we're going somewhere and he's taking a route that's not what I would do, then I'll go, why didn't you turn there? Or this is one of my favorites, like, do you remember where we're going? And he's always like, I know how to get there. But if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And he wants to be in the driver's seat because he loves you. Think of where he would take you. Like, we all know where he's taking us. We're just not sure how he's gonna get us there. And so it makes us afraid to trust him. Just like I'm very afraid to trust Neil when he's going somewhere. The Holy Spirit empowers our words and our actions and our witness for Christ. Like, he can take what we say or what we do and make it influential and powerful in somebody else's life for Christ. So our role is to be his witness. We're gonna look at that a lot in Acts, what it is to be a witness. That's a word we don't use a lot outside of the courtroom. But what it really means is tell your story. Talk about what you've seen and heard about Jesus and be bold about it. That's our role. To be his witness, to be bold in our witness. And it's the role of the Holy Spirit to determine what the outcome is. So to know our role and to know his role. So we're going to watch in Acts the Holy Spirit show his power, and it's going to be amazing. Next, the Holy Spirit binds us to Christ, and he binds us to other believers. Like, he is the bond we share. It's a unique bond. It is a bond we share like no other. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So that term, the baptism of the Spirit, you'll see that in Acts 1 next week. Baptizo is the Greek word, and it means to dip, immerse, submerge, to overwhelm, saturate. It is an act performed by God in joining believers to himself and to each other. So for us today, that happened the moment you believed in Christ. Now, all of us have household chores, some of which we really don't like. You have your pet ones you hate, and you probably have your pet ones you love. For me, like emptying the dishwasher, that's my worst. Like, for some reason, I don't like to do it. But laundry is one that I kind of like. I even like to iron, thanks to my mom. She's a good teacher. So I'm really careful about how I do the laundry. I'm really picky about how I do that. But there have been times, more than once, when a red t-shirt has gotten in with the white socks, underwear, towels, sheets, and you know what happens. Like, everything comes out pink. It all looks alike. And so even if I went home tonight and looked at two towels that had been in there with the red t-shirt, I'd notice it. I'd know they'd look alike. Like, they were forever connected to that red t-shirt. And so I think that's a lot like the Holy Spirit. So, you know, sometimes you hear the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. So he doesn't just live like somewhere in here. Like, he saturates every fiber of your being. And he makes us resemble each other. Like, even if we don't all look alike on the outside at all, we're all pink. And finally, the Holy Spirit takes your life and transforms you to be more like Christ. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. There should be. Galatians calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that's what you're becoming when the Holy Spirit lives in you. It is a process. Do you feel like those things describe you? Or are you fearful, stressed out, unkind, apathetic? If you have the Spirit in you, you're still going to struggle with those things. But because of his power in your life, you have the power to struggle well so that those things won't be the descriptors of your life. Is it hard to trust God? It is for me. But those fruit are the things that he'll produce in your life as you trust him, as you let him sit in that driver's seat. Because he loves you. So we're going to see in Acts how the Holy Spirit can radically change people. May that be true of you and me. He is utterly committed to your being everything God wants you to be. He's utterly committed to your life glorifying God. So how should I respond to that? One of two ways. If you're here and you're not sure if you're a believer in Christ, I pray that you'll consider this. To know that you are a sinner, just like every one of us in this room, and that you go your own way instead of God's way, the consequence of that is separation from God. But because he loves you and he doesn't want you to be separated from him, God has made provision for you by allowing his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So Jesus was separated from God so that you will never have to be. So if you accept his death on your behalf, you're saved. You're united with Christ forever, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. Not because of anything you do or do not do, but because God loves you and because Jesus died for you. If you're a believer in Christ, recognize the Holy Spirit in you. Be aware of his presence in your life this week through his Spirit. Just looking at this has made me so much more aware of his presence. And it has been so freeing for me to do my role and let him do his. Let him sit in the driver's seat in your life because he loves you. So jump into Acts this week, and when you see the Holy Spirit referenced, I hope it'll have rich meaning for you. When you see the Holy Spirit in Acts, in the first couple of chapters, come and dwell the lives of believers in Christ for the very first time, just remember that that Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. Like, we share that bond not only with each other, we share that bond with them. And we're going to see in the first couple of chapters the birth of the church that's united through God's Spirit. Like the church, not meaning Watermark or Park City's Presbyterian, but the church being comprised of everyone who's ever believed in Christ. So when you see those people in Acts, like, you have that bond. Like, we're part of that same thing. You're part of something bigger than yourself. You're part of something that is unstoppable. So I look forward to just discovering what all God has in that, for us to getting to know him in a bigger, deeper way. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your Spirit. Lord, help each one of us to recognize that you live in us. Lord, that you have plans for us, and you're the one that's transforming us, and you're the one that's helping us to understand you. Lord, you bind us together in a special way. Lord, I pray that we will make the most of the bond that you've given us with the women in this room and the women in our groups. Lord, I pray for each woman in here that you will give her understanding as she opens up Acts this week and maybe reads something she's never read before. Lord, but you will show us each one thing that's going to make a difference in our week. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is worth it. I know that for every one of us in this room, Lord, you've had to tear down barriers and go through circumstances to enable us to be sitting in this room. And Lord, we know it is by no accident. So Lord, I thank you. And I pray for the women in this room that week by week, you will give them a way to get here. Lord, you will show them things that are life-changing. Lord, you will change the direction of our lives because of being in this study. Lord, I pray all these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.